Let's read Galatians 5 and 6b again. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Brothers and sisters, what is it that stops you from living however you please? I mean, Christianity perhaps sounds, in some regards, too good to be true to some random person, some man or woman on the street. You tell me that we're all sinners, right? And God, what does he do? God forgives sin. And I get this forgiveness, not because you're telling me, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did. So I can sign up, I can sign on the dotted line and get my sins forgiven and then just carry on living as I did before. Just could keep coming back for forgiveness if the tank starts getting dry, running dry. And you say that, look, it doesn't really work like that. That's not how it works. Why? This hypothetical person might reply, is there some fine print involved? And you say, well, not really. You just wouldn't live that way. Live as you please. I think this conversation is just one example of hundreds and thousands of different conversations that have been had over the years about how faith and works fit together. I'm saved by faith. I'm saved from my works. I'm saved by faith. And then once that happens, well, what then? What next? That's a good question. It's worthy of an answer. And it fits well as we continue thinking about the work of Jesus as we've been doing over the last few weeks, summarized in the Belgic Confession. We've seen that we find justice and mercy in Jesus. That Jesus is all that we need, and that against all hope we gain like Abraham gained. Jesus, the one whom we need. So, well, what next? We've obtained this Jesus by faith. Can I live as I please now that I have Jesus? The text this afternoon answers the question this way. Once you have Jesus, once you have laid hold of Jesus by faith, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And so with these questions in the front or the back of our minds, let's open our text and see two things. And the first thing that we see is that the Christian life is a life of faith. Christian life is a life of faith. For in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote there, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith. You may remember from your general Bible knowledge, general biblical knowledge, that this issue of circumcision that Paul refers to here is a big deal. Capital B, capital D, it's a big deal for the Church of Galatia. It's a big deal for Paul as he writes to them. It's a big deal because everything is at stake. We could summarize it like this. Some theological bigwigs turned up at church one day and they said, circumcision is actually a big deal. For you men, that's the way for you to join God's people. And the Galatians reply, they say, well, look, no, that's not what Paul said. Paul said we could join just by faith. Oh, no, those newcomers said, for you to join, you've got to become like us. We got circumcised because that's what God commanded in the Old Testament, in the Bible. So you've got to as well. And if you don't, you don't really belong. You don't have the right swipe card to get in. You swipe your card, access denied. I mean, we're glad that you love Jesus and that you're following him, but trust us, these men said, you've got to get circumcised. What's a young church to do? Maybe Paul was a little bit unclear when he taught us, some of them thought. We must have been taking him out of context. After all, these new guys, they seem to know what they're on about. They're very confident in their views. And look, at the end of the day, it's only a little bit of skin. Maybe we should just go under the surgeon's knife, just to be on the safe side, as a bit like an insurance policy. And Paul says, no. No, 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 you must not do this. If you give up your freedom and submit yourself to this old Jewish law, what you are doing is not just giving up a piece of skin, you are giving up the kitchen sink, you're giving up the lot. You're giving it all away. You'll have to obey everything. And trust me, God's people have never been able to obey everything. But more importantly than that, Paul would say, you'll have sacrificed the heart of following Jesus. You'll be putting on a yoke that you can't bear. You'll be saying now, if I don't do all the right things, I won't be right before God. I won't be okay with God. You'll be saying by your actions, I need to add something to what Jesus has done. I need more than faith. And once you start, where do you stop? Once you start, where do you stop? If you're going to say that you've got to keep this law, you're really going to have to keep every law, right? How likely do you think that you're going to be able to live up to that? You're going to fail. You're going to fail, aren't you? You're trying to live up to the whole law. And if you do fail, what are you going to rest on? What are you going to rely upon? Where are you going to turn to? You're not going to be able to turn to Jesus, because you'll have said you need Jesus plus this other thing. Jesus plus right living. So what I, Paul, am saying to you is this. Christian life, you've got to understand, is a life of faith. It begins with faith. It's lived through faith. It ends with faith. Everything is faith. And so circumcision, it's no longer a big deal. It was important back then, but the arrival of Jesus shattered the old way of life for Israel. A new life, a new way of has been opened up. A life of freedom. A life released from the old bondage and slavery to the law. Christian life is a life of faith, not letters chiseled into blocks of stone. The Christian life is a life lived by the Spirit, walking in step with the Spirit. Don't give up your freedom. Don't add anything to Christ Jesus. If you have faith in Christ, you have everything already. Friends, we need to hold on to that truth today. We need to hold on to it when feeling pressure to conform to standards around us, whether those are standards of society in general or even standards within the church. That is, when there are standards, these standards that are not based on God's will for us in Jesus, but are based on a series of assumptions or traditions. The way things have always been done and need to continue to be done. And if they're not found in the Bible, that's dangerous. And I wonder to myself, what are the latest equivalents? And if Paul was writing this sort of letter to a church today, he wouldn't be, I don't think he would be writing about circumcision, would he? He wouldn't be writing about a temptation that all sorts of Christian men are facing to give up Christ in favor of circumcision. He wouldn't be writing a letter like that, would he? I wonder what the latest equivalents are. Here's one example that comes to my mind, and not as an issue I want to get into today, but just that comes to my mind. Think of something like smoking. Smoking, which was once commonplace throughout society and through church, but smoking, that's bad. A true Christian wouldn't smoke, would they? That's bad for you. That's not Christian. That's the old life. That's not new life in Christ. Well, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. But the Christian life is not about whether you smoke or whether you don't. It's about Jesus. That's what it's about. If I could paraphrase our text a little, if I could have the liberty to do that, Paul would say something like, "For in Christ Jesus, neither smoking nor not smoking has any value." It's not a badge of true faith. It's not a reliable indicator of almost anything. Once upon a time, everyone in the church was circumcised and everyone smoked. And now only a few people are circumcised and a few people smoke. But that's not the point. The point isn't some standard in society or anything like that. It isn't about doing this and doing that and not doing this and not doing that. No, Christ Jesus is the point. Not man-made regulations or a possible inference you can draw from the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you have been saved for a life of freedom, a life of faith. Christian Reformed Church of Toowoomba, do not let anyone take that away from you. Christian life is a life of faith, a life of faith in Christ Jesus. Then there's the second thing that we see in our text as well, and that is that the Christian life is not only a life of faith, but it's also a life of love. A life of love. Paul continues, he says, the only thing that counts is faith. And he goes on to express what he means, faith expressing itself through love. As we've just seen, we were saved without the Jewish laws. We were saved by Christ and through faith. Not faith in ourselves, not faith in what we've done, not faith in all the laws that we've kept, not faith in the good things that we've achieved, but faith in Jesus and faith in what Jesus has done for us upon the cross. But faith not only saves you, faith also changes you. You become a new person when faith is at work in your heart and in your life. Well, keeping our text in mind, listen and read with me these two other similar texts that we find. The first is in Galatians 6 and verse 15. Here's Paul saying in a different chapter, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. 1 Corinthians 7, from a different book of the Bible, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. It's the third time now we're getting the picture, aren't we? Keeping God's commands is what counts. Back to our text. Three things, three passages, all speaking of the one and the same reality. The only thing that counts, a new creation in the one. Keeping God's commands in the second. And here in our text, faith expressing itself through love. Note that Paul says the only thing that counts, not the only things that count. There is only one thing that counts, expressed in three different ways in these different passages. And so, surely this is going to be a large part of the answer we give to someone asking those questions that we open with. So why can't I keep on sinning and just go to God every so often, every week, every couple of weeks for a top-up? Paul would say, because it doesn't work that way. You see, God's work in our lives isn't some minor redecorating operation, some sort of slap some new wallpaper or paint over the old wallpaper and paint. No, it's a new creation. When you believe in Jesus, God doesn't just paint over and wallpaper over the old you. God creates a new person. A new person that's different to the old person. Of course, it's still you, isn't it? It's still you, but you've changed. You have new desires. And well, before this had happened, you might have toyed with this idea of, well, look, I'll just sign on the bottom line and believe in Jesus, and then I'll live as I please. Well, you might have had that idea before. The new person that God creates through work of the Spirit, a new person doesn't have a heart like that, a heart for that. Oh, yes, we do still sin, but But the idea, as Paul speaks of it, of sinning so that grace may abound and increase, that's an alien idea to us. As Paul says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Rather, the new life, the new creation that God works in us contains not just a desire to avoid living in sin, it contains a desire to serve the Lord. And so we're not left in a moral vacuum where we just do whatever we please, and all that matters, as the Beatles would say, is that you've got love. For the faith that saves us isn't just something intellectual, an intellectual understanding, but it's a life-changing commitment. Not an empty faith, not a barren faith, but a fruitful faith. And so our moral compass points us in the right direction is this: the call of God to live a life of love. That is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love is how real faith is seen. It's one way in which saving faith is distinguished and set apart from all the other kinds of faith, the false varieties of faith. Faith expressing itself through love. Love, which is, as Jesus said, what did Jesus say love is? Love is keeping his commandments. Faith, then, choosing to walk in God's ways rather than our own ways. And love, giving up our natural desire to think of ourselves before we think of God or of other people. Christian faith is a life of love. I want to ask you this evening, does that ring true in your life? I'm not asking you tonight if you're perfect. I'm not asking you if you don't stumble and fall down. I'm asking if God has given you a desire to live for him in all things. I'm asking if God has given you a desire to have an obedient faith. I'm asking if God has given you the desire to see the fruit of the Spirit that Paul goes on to speak of in Galatians 5 in the latter half of the chapter. Desire to have the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life. Brothers and sisters, if God has given you those desires, then you should be greatly encouraged this evening. For perhaps you're here this evening, perhaps you're here today, and as you reflect on your own heart and your life, you're so conscious of your sin. Perhaps this past week, every direction you've turned, there have been opportunities to stumble. And you have stumbled. Perhaps your faith hasn't seemed strong enough to resist the temptations that you've faced. So you're here this evening and got a smile on your face because that's what you do at church, but you're here tonight and you're feeling pretty rotten. You're feeling pretty miserable about things. You're wondering, is my faith real? Is it genuine? I want to say to you this evening, you have every reason to be encouraged. Because your awareness of how far you are falling short of the life that God would have you live, a life of faith expressing itself in love, that awareness is itself a work of God. God isn't allowing you to rest or to slumber contentedly in your failures. And you're here. You're here this evening, here to worship the Lord together. That in itself is an act of love. It's an act of obedience, of faith coming to expression, love for God. I also want to encourage you because the orchard that is filled with the fruit of the Spirit, that orchard isn't an orchard that grows up overnight like Jack and the Beanstalk. God plants faithful fruit in your life, but But it takes many years, doesn't it, for your orchard to come to maturity. This fruit, already from the beginning, this fruit, yes, but God's will for you in Christ Jesus is that every year, the fruit that your orchard is producing, that your fruit bearing would flourish. Perhaps right now you're battling insects and pests that would try to eat away the fruit and spoil the crop. But friends, God is the one who planted that orchard in your life. And already in Christ, you are fruitful. So don't be discouraged this evening by the fact that you look at the orchard, you look at the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you realize that you could be more fruitful. Be glad. Even rejoice this evening. Rejoice even if there is but one small apple on the tree. Because that is faith coming to expression in love. That's a sign of life. It's a sign of God's life and God's love and God's faith in your life. Faith coming to expression in love. So perhaps all of us this evening, perhaps all of us should recommit ourselves to walking in God's ways, in paths of obedience out of the glorious response of life-changing love in response to the love of Jesus, to bring new fruit into expression in our lives, faith coming to expression in acts of love. Christian life is a life of faith. Faith in Christ Jesus who saved us. And the Christian faith is a life of love. Love expressed in obedience and out of love itself. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen.